The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to the book of John, chapter 4. We're laying the foundation already for next week. The title of my message this morning is, we talked about your assignment last week, it's called Your Fulfillment is in Your Assignment. If you're not being fulfilled, it's because you're not on your assignment. And that's why we're doing the Vision Conference, to get everybody on their assignment. Can you say amen? So John chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verse 4. It was necessary for him to go through Samaria. And in doing so, he arrived at a Samaritan town called Sychar, near the tract of land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, which, you know, that's an encouraging thing to know that he was tired, because I have got that way myself from time to time. He sat down to rest by the well. It's about the sixth hour, about noon. Presently, when a woman of Samaria came along to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For the disciples had gone off into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, and a woman for a drink? For the Jews have no dealings or nothing to do with the Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you had only known and recognized God's gift and who this is that is saying this to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him instead, and he would have given you living water." And she said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, no drawing bucket, and the well is deep. How then can you provide living water? Where do you get your living water from? Are you greater than and superior to our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and used to drink from it himself and his sons and his cattle also?" And Jesus answered her, "All who drink of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him shall never, no, never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I shall give him shall become a spring of water welling up, flowing, bubbling continually within him, into for eternal life," the Amplified says. And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may never get thirsty, nor have to come continue all the way here to draw." And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back here." And the woman answered, "I have no husband." And Jesus said, "You have truly spoken in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you've had five husbands, and the man you're now living with is not your husband. In this you've spoken truly." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I see and understand that you are a prophet. Our forefathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place to worship, where it's necessary and proper to worship." But Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither merely in this mountain nor merely in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not know what you're worshiping. You worship what you do not comprehend. We do know, and we are worshiping. We worship what we have knowledge of and understand, for after all, salvation comes from among the Jews. A time will come, however, indeed, it is already here, when the true, genuine worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth and in reality, for the Father is seeking just such people as these worshipers. God is a spiritual being, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth and reality." Then the woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ, the Anointed One. And when he arrives, he will tell us everything we need to know and make it clear to us." And Jesus said to her, "I who now speak with you am he." Just then, disciples came, and they wondered, and they were surprised, astonished to find him talking with a woman, a married woman. However, not one of them asked him, "What are you inquiring about, or what do you want, or why do you speak with her?" And the woman left the water jar, which is very precious, and went away into the town and began to tell people, "Come and see a man who told me everything that I've ever done. Can this be? Is this not the Christ? Must not this be the Messiah, the Anointed One?" So the people left town and set out to go to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi," or "Master, eat something." But he assuredly said to them, "I have food, nourishment to eat, of which you know nothing and have no idea." So the disciples said to one another, "Has someone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food, my nourishment is to do the will, the pleasure of him who sent me, and to accomplish and completely finish his work. Do not say, 'It's still 4 months until harvest time comes.' Look, I tell you, raise your eyes and observe the fields and see how they're already white for harvesting. Already the reaper is getting his wages. He who does the cutting now has his reward, for he's gathering fruit, crop, unto life eternal. So he who does the planting and who does the reaping may rejoice together. For in this the saying holds true, 'One soul sows and another reaps.' I send you to reap a crop for which you have not toiled. Other men have labored, and you have stepped in to reap the results of the labor." Now numerous Samaritans from the town believed in and trusted in him because of what the woman said when he declared and testified. When she declared and testified, "He told me everything that I've done." And so when the Samaritans arrived, they asked him to remain with them, and he did stay there 2 days. And then many more believed and dear to and relied on him because of his personal message, what he himself said. And they told the woman, "Now we no longer believe and trust and have faith just because of what you said, for we have heard him ourselves, we personally, and we know that he truly is the Savior of the world." And after these 2 days, Jesus went on from there into Galilee. Now, I want you to see something here which is very plain. Message I bring, you know, is simple. I don't complicate anything. Basically, if you can read, you can have understanding to everything that I preach. I just put it out there, you know. I preach to children, and then the adults will get it. Sometimes people try to preach to the intellectuals, and nobody gets it. I've many times put on Christian television and heard a preacher talking, and I said to my wife, "Do you know what he's talking about?" She said, "No." I said, "Neither do I," and I changed the channel. So it's too deep for me, too way out there, and obviously going to impact nobody's life. Your assignment must be connected to eternity. And I say this because your assignment's what you're going to be doing on a daily basis. For many ministers, what they do is just the Sunday morning or Wednesday night, and then everything else, they're just going about their life. For individuals in the church, you know, they'll come to church on Sunday morning, but then Monday through Saturday, it's kind of out there, you know. So you've got these worlds that are separated. People that are not in the full-time ministry feel like they have to give up everything and come into full-time ministry to mean anything to God, and that's not the truth. That's not true. Every single person is called to do something very specific by the Lord, and that doesn't mean to say you have to give up everything and go into the full-time ministry. If God wants you in that place, he will call you and put you in that place, and there'll be a grace for you to step into that place. We even have people come around here that come through Bible school and go into the ministry, and they're not even called. I mean, that's just the power of the message we preach, that we put people out there that are not even called in the ministry, but they go. They don't know it. They just drink the new wine and think they're called. It's the truth. I mean, if they have a fivefold ministry calling, I don't know it. But, and some have even called themselves apostles, and they're not even a deacon, but hey, they're getting people saved and healed and set free. You know, that's fine. You know, some people are called, some are sent, others just bought a microphone and went. And I'm saying that not to take away. You know, God wants to use every single person, but it's evident from their life that obviously they're not stepped into the calling, or they're en route to find their calling, and we pray they do sooner than later, because they're killing everybody en route to their calling, you know. So anyway, I'll change the subject on that. We'll get into some of that coming up during the conference. Your assignment, say this often to me, my assignment must be connected to eternity, which we talked about last week. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. So no matter what job you're in, no matter what your vocation is of life, how you're earning a living or what you're doing, if you attach souls to it, suddenly what you are doing becomes eternal. Amen. Do you understand that? Without even going into the ministry. If you make souls your number one goal as an individual because you love the Lord and he saved you and he delivered you, therefore you're going to win souls, then you step into a higher place. And there's a purpose in your life. You're not wasting time. You're not out there just trying to earn a living Monday to Friday and eke out an existence, and then one day you're going to retire and have the American dream, or what do they think is a house with a white picket fence and 2.5 children, which I never did meet a half a kid, but they say it's 2.5 kids, which is crazy. Why would you want a half a kid? But when you attach everything to eternity, then suddenly you realize that what you are doing is going to count 100 years from today. So if we fast forward and we go 100 years from now, what would you say to me then? And what would I say to you then? Would we say, man, if only we'd have done this, if only we'd have just emphasized a little bit more, if only we'd stepped over and connected our assignment to eternity, then I wouldn't be sitting here with little to show for my life on the earth, which that's a big concern for me as pastor of the River Church, because I don't want anybody who calls himself a member of the church to get to heaven and you've got nothing to show for your life on the earth. Then it's my responsibility, and I'm going to be to blame, and the Lord's going to hold me accountable. That's why I'd rather share these things, and it might irritate a few people, but at least then you will never be able to point a finger at me and say, you never told me. And someone said, but Pastor, you push us. I'm going to push you a whole lot more. I'm going to push you a whole lot more, because there's more that we can be doing for the kingdom of heaven. And there'll be many distractions that will come to take you away from your assignment. I get that all the time. You cannot imagine the distractions that I have to deal with every single day. And some of it comes from major different places. And I have to grit my teeth and, I mean, make it, no, I'm not doing that. No, we are not going over there. I've sat for 5 hours around a table and they've talked nonsense, and at the end of the day, it's wasted half of my day. I don't have a half a day to sit and waste, because I've got to stay focused on the assignment. We're on a quest for 300 cities of the world between now and the end of 2020. I met with a major ministry. He said, come with me in October. We're going to go to a farm. I said, I don't have time to come with you in October. Great. Thousands of people. I'm not interested in going with you. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm on a mandate for 300 cities, one night. Yeah. Somebody said, when will that finish? End of 2020. Somebody called me, this was 2 weeks ago. I need you in Africa in the month of, I said, I can't come. I'll give you one night, but that's it. Well, you promise you can. I said, listen, I'm on a mandate from heaven. I can't just jump because you suddenly decided you're going to do your dedication that week. I got to obey the Lord. Because otherwise you run around, you run here, you run there, you run everywhere. At the end of the day, you accomplish nothing. You've got to focus. And that's what we're going to be dealing with during this vision conference, because there are going to be many things that will come along to distract you from what God's called you to do and accomplish. Now, we can learn from Jesus. What a great example we read in John chapter 4. Here he is at a well. He was about his father's business. He was occupied, and he was giving away living water, which is eternal. That's what I do. I'm a water dispenser. I'm a fresh oil dispenser. I'm a Holy Ghost fire dispenser. I'm a new wine dispenser. That's what I do. So for a preacher to invite me to the church, say, look, you can come, but we don't want any joy, and we don't bring that new wine, and we don't bring that fire. You got the wrong person. Because if I come, I'm bringing what I have. Amen. And guess what's going to happen? The fire's going to fall. If you're embarrassed about the fire of God, don't invite me. If you don't like joy, do not invite me to your church. I'm going to wreck your place of depression. I'm going to wreck it. If you want a nice little religious church with a nice little one-hour dry cleaning service, do not invite me. I'm not a good guest speaker for 35 minutes. And especially when you put a clock up there telling me I've got 18 minutes left. You fail. No, we're on a mission. We're not traveling around here doing speaking engagements. I'm not a motivational speaker. If I go around just speaking, people only get half of what we do. I told one preacher, you don't even let me do what I do. You want me to speak? Well, we need you to come speak. I said, I don't just speak. I don't just speak. Well, we're in a hurry. Too much hurry for me. I'm not in a hurry. Amen. So Jesus was giving away living water, which is eternal. And he was giving away from a source that never runs dry. I'm so happy that we have access to that source that will never run dry. I'm so happy we have a source that will never run dry. Man, I feel it right now. Hallelujah. I better be careful here because otherwise I'm going to get messed up here in a moment. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Everywhere we go, I tell people, you know, you read the book of Acts and they thought they were drunk, you know. And I tell people, when last were you drunk in church? When last did you have to be driven away? When last did somebody have to carry you out of church? When last did you have to be Ubered out? Somebody said, I didn't even know I could drink in church. Yes, yes, there's living water to drink. There's new wine from heaven to drink. You drink enough wine of heaven, hey, the wine that comes from the grapes that have been freshly squeezed that come from the vineyard of God. You drink of that new wine, you ain't just walking straight out of the building. You walk sideways. Like one night at one of the camp meetings, we had a guest minister visiting with me, and all the people that were helping had gone, and there was nobody to take him back to the hotel. It was like 2 a.m. So I said, I'll drive you back to the hotel, which is just across the freeway. So I got into my truck, and I drove off, and I took him back to the hotel. When I pulled up at the hotel, the cops were there with flashing lights behind me. And he come to the window. He said, do you realize you were swerving all over the road? I said, sir, I didn't. He said, yeah, but you were behind. I was behind you the whole way. He said, you cut in front of me. You didn't. You ignored. I never saw the cop. I never saw nothing. I said, sir, please, I'm a pastor of the River Church, and we just finished the service after midnight. And I said, I'm under the influence of a new wine. And he looked at me. He knew the River Church. He started laughing. I said, sir, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. And I'll pay better attention next time. You know? Then I thought, because I come here, I stay here. I don't move around. You know, suddenly I'm driving the car at 2 a.m, swerving all over the road like some drunk individual. It's very hard to explain to the cop that you actually are legit and that you were drinking, but you were drinking new wine. And then he let me go. There was no problem. He didn't even do a breathalyzer, but when he did come to the window, I did apologize profusely. Officer, I'm sorry, whatever I did, I don't know what I'd done, but I must have done something because he pulled me over. So please forgive me, I'm so sorry. I'm about my father's business. Hallelujah. So he had been walking from Judea to Galilee, and he stopped in Samaria. He was tired, so he rested at the well. But the disciples went to go buy food. So he not only rested, but he was hungry. It's okay to rest, which I'm going to do after the minister's conference. I'm going to take my wife away for a couple of weeks and rest. It is okay to rest. I've been running flat out now, but the rest will come. Amen. And for the rest of you, it's okay to rest. So he asked the woman at the Samaritan woman. He asked her for a drink of water, and then he began to minister to her. He spoke to her about the eternal. He was standing at the natural, the temporal, talking about the eternal. He said, "Drink this living water, and you'll never thirst." Verse 14, "Whosoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life." That well that's on the inside of you that you have to keep activated. Amen. Put your hand on your belly. That's where the well is. Not on your head. "With joy shall you draw forth water out of the wells of salvation." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Not out of your head. Not out of your head, genius. Not out of your head, you rocket scientist, you. Out of your innermost being. Now, this water, this eternal water, is refreshing. So in the natural, people get tired out because what they're doing in the natural does not refresh. But the moment you begin to speak of the eternals of God, and you begin to speak the vision, and you begin to speak the plan and what God has for you, suddenly people light up. Like if you sat with them and said, "What would you do if money was no object?" Suddenly they dream big. But then they flip back down. "Well, that's all just a dream. I'd love that to happen, but God knows it'll never happen. I've been told by others I'll never succeed. I'll never make it." And then they go into the realm of impossibilities or come down to the realm of the natural when God has called you to live in the supernatural. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Can you say amen? So as he ministered to her, he was being refreshed. And the Bible says in Proverbs 11:25, "The liberal soul shall be made fat." Which I have to watch that all the time, because you can put on weight like that. You have to be careful, you know what I'm saying? For all the skinny people out there. "He that watereth shall be watered also himself." So your refreshing comes as you refresh others. Your encouragement comes as you encourage others. Your help comes as you help others. Because what happens, the devil always tries to make it about internal and, oh, how bad things are. And there's always going to be storms that come to everybody, and you can always focus on them and then never, ever do what God's called you to do. But in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the attack, in the middle when everything's coming against you, yet you still step out and you begin to minister and you begin to refresh others, you're going to be refreshed yourself. The thing that's kept us all these years is I preach my way through every problem. I preach my way through every storm. I'm in the middle of the worst attack. I'm still preaching. Other people, they quit, take a sabbatical. They go hide in a mountain for 2 months, and it just gets worse. It just gets worse. So I just preach my way through the storm. I preach my way through every attack. And as I refresh others, then I'm refreshed myself. As I help sustain others, the Lord sustains me. Can you say amen? Don't quit. Don't ever quit. Be generous, be a blessing with temporal things, yet always focusing on the eternal. Now, look at verse 31. If you go there, John 4 and verse 31. I want you to see something here. "Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, saying, 'Rabbi or master, eat something.'" Eat. Now, what did he say? But he assured them, I have food and nourishment to eat that you know nothing or have no idea about. So what do you mean? You're tired. We went to get you something to eat. Did somebody feed him? They went on. They even said, has someone brought him something to eat? How come we left him tired at a well? We come back here, he's refreshed. We bring him back food. He's not interested in the food. And then he tells us that he's got food to eat that we don't even know about. That doesn't make sense. And what did Jesus say? He assured them, I have food, nourishment, eat that you know nothing about. And he said, my food, my nourishment is to do the will of him who sent me. Amen. So it's in doing your assignment that you step into that place where you are fulfilled. Many are not fulfilled because they're not in the assignment and they've allowed every distraction to come their way. I know of ministers right now that should be blazing the trails, but they got sidetracked going off to some financial deal. And I said, what are you doing? Well, if we can have this breakthrough with this finances, we can do so much more for the kingdom of God. So they take 3 years to go get the finances, and now they're not doing anything. The finances didn't come, and they're not obeying the call of God. I said, listen, there's a lot of things we can go after. But I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to keep the main thing. Stay after the harvest of souls and write down on the mandate for 300 cities. Somebody said, what happens after 300 cities? That's the Lord's problem. But right now, I have to stay on the mandate. Can you say amen? Amen. And the Lord will take care of the rest. Stay focused. Everybody say, I must stay focused. So Jesus was saying that his fulfillment is linked to his assignment. Like, I don't mind a vacation, but I mean, after a couple of, you know, I'll start going stir crazy. I mean, there's only so much rest you can have. You understand? I mean, after a couple, I need to get back. I need to do, you know, I can't sit around here just resting. I'm not retired. That's why retirement for elderly people is actually a curse. Let me tell you right now, most people that suddenly retire, within 4 or 5 years they're dead. Because like almost they tell their body a message and then the body starts shutting down. Keep yourself busy. Keep yourself busy into your 80s. And I'm not saying don't enjoy yourself. I'm not saying don't take a cruise or go somewhere in the world. But keep yourself busy. Here she is, 84 years old, going back to Mongolia. Come on. And there's some ministers I know, 65 years old, and I'm going to take a step back, you know, kind of chill, let the kids take over, and, you know, just kind of enjoy the fruit of my labor. What are you talking about? We got an 84-year-old lady going to Mongolia, and you at 64 want to sit on your blessed assurance and step back a little bit. I'll slap you one. Or get her to slap you. On this Mother's Day. Just come stand down the aisle. I'll also take a right hand and crack you one up the side of the head. And that's why some people keep going into their 90s and other people fade in their late 60s. And again, you can fade quicker if you just are not connected to eternity. You're just connected to the natural. The natural will wear you out. But the eternal will sustain you and give you fulfillment. Amen. Now, one of the things that's interesting to note here, Jesus immediately talked about the harvest. In verse 35, he said, do not say it's 4 months until the harvest time comes. Look, I tell you, raise up your eyes and observe the fields and see how they're already white for harvesting. Verse 36, already the reaper is getting his wages. He who does the cutting has his reward. He's gathering fruit, crop unto life eternal, so that he who does the planting and he who does the reaping may rejoice together. Verse 37, for in this the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. Don't get upset if you're not seeing the reaping, because your job is important even in the sowing. The harvest shall come. Amen. But there's been many things that we've been sowing over the years that now after in the 40th year, I'm starting to see come to pass. And I promise you right now, would never have come to pass had we not been consistent in the sowing. And you keep continually doing that, whether it looks like in the natural or not, you are seeing the results that you want to, because you're being faithful to obey the Lord and do exactly what he's called you to do. Verse 38, I sent you to reap a crop. Listen, this is so powerful. For which you have not toiled. In other words, you're going to be reaping for that which you did not even work for. Somebody's going to grab hold of this, yeah? Other people have labored, and you have stepped in to reap the results of their work. Somebody said, yeah, but it's going to take a lot of work. Other than obeying the Lord and stepping in and walking in the result, just step in. You'll reap it. You didn't even work for it. You're going to reap it. Don't you understand what he's talking about? Why? Because when you focus on the eternal, when you focus on the eternal, Jesus stepped out of eternity into time to redeem us, to bring us back into eternity. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I sent you to reap a crop for which you have not toiled. Other men have labored, and you've stepped in to reap the results of their work, which I feel that's what we're doing right now. I feel it. I feel it in this assignment. As we're going from city to city, forget about that it's not an arena packed with 10,000 people. If that happened, I'd have to run half of them off before we could even have an upper room. But we're seeing in one night what took us a whole week to take place. How's that possible? I'm serious. In one meeting, we're seeing what took us 5 days to see. We're not talking about the size of the altar. I'm talking about in the move of the Spirit of God. I mean, the fire of God hitting. It's like that. It's like... I don't know how to explain it or even put into words. And I've been in all these meetings from way back when. I've been in every one of them. I know. I can feel it. I can see it. Unusual what God's doing. And this thing's going to pick up momentum throughout the remainder of this year and then into 2020. Can you say amen? And there's no telling what's going to happen after that. Hallelujah. We're going to see whole nations shaken by the hand of God. And now, even though in some quarters it's rejected by the church, the Lord opening up the realm into government. Suddenly we're meeting with government leaders and you know, some said, yeah, you got to watch out for them or whatever. I have to watch out for preachers. What are you talking about? I have to watch out for preachers. So, you know, it doesn't bother me. I tell you, the Lord is giving me a big heart. I'd receive everybody the same. It doesn't matter if they're preacher or no preacher or what. Their belief is, I'm just going to love everybody that comes along, and I'm going to give them equal opportunity to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Can you say amen? Amen. So Jesus is now talking about a whole new realm, which I want to bring to your attention today. Reaping where you have not sown. It's not that we haven't sown. We are sowers. How many of us are sowing here? But not only are you going to reap where you've sown, you're going to reap where you have not sown. You are going to reap where you have not sown. The results of other people's labor. The Bible even says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. You're going to reap where you did not even toil. I was talking to an individual who was flying to Israel this last week. And I said to him, when you get to Tel Aviv and you get to the airport, there's a big mural on the wall. And on that mural, it talks about 500 million birds that fly through Israeli airspace every year on migration. They come down through into Africa, and then they come back through going back home between the summer and the winter. 500 million birds. That's a billion birds. And you know what? My Heavenly Father feeds every single one of those birds. And those birds don't work. You ever seen a lineup of birds going to work? You don't see birds working. You don't see any bird working.
Not at all.
I have chickens. And every day they go peck, 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 peck. They don't work. They're just looking for a worm or whatever they're going to eat. And they run. And every day they give me an egg. Every day. And they give me an egg. Then I throw out some food and bless them with extras, you know, organic feed. And then they go and bless me by giving me an offering. So God takes care of the birds. He takes care of the flowers. Amen.
Amen.
Other men have labored, and you step in and reap the results of their work. I used that example and told about Reinhard Bonnke when he went to Malawi for the very first time. And they were in Blantyre, a city that David Livingstone had named after a town in Scotland. And this was the first big crusade that Ronald did actually start to move up through Africa. There was 100,000 people and their place in Blantyre. And when they got back to the hotel, they were sitting around and somebody had the diary of David Livingstone. And David Livingstone was stating in his diary, being here in Blantyre, not hardly anybody saved, very few results. And then he said, but there's no doubt in my mind that over 100 years from now, an evangelist is going to come and reap a big harvest. And then it shocked them because they realized they were standing in the prophetic words of David Livingstone, that David had been there and preached his heart out and saw one or two saved. And suddenly there was a field filled with 100,000 people and tens of thousands of people were getting saved. And I know for a missionary, they always feel like, you know, I'm the first one here, but there's always somebody before you. Remember, the planet didn't just come around the day you were born. Are you with me? I know everybody thinks I'm going to some remote region, like I'm going to Mongolia. But she'd been there how many times? From the 90s, she'd been going to Mongolia. And you go back 200 years, who had been in Mongolia? And 500 years ago, who had been where? And 1,000 years ago, who had been where? And from the early church, from the upper room, who had got to that place before you? We're not walking a fresh new path. Somebody's been there. It's just your moment to step into destiny. It's your moment to step into your assignment. Can you say amen? And it's your moment to reap from other people's labors.
Amen.
That because somebody blazed the trail, it's easier for you to reap because somebody took the brunt. Somebody took the hit. Somebody went there and had to blaze the trail. Somebody took the persecution so that you could come through free.
Amen.
Like an icebreaker that goes through the Arctic, that breaks the ice. It's a special boat. It's a special boat that's able to break through the ice packs to allow the other boats to come through.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, the smaller boats come through and they're just getting the benefit of the icebreaker that went through. Say this, to reap where I've not sown. Say it again, to reap where I've not sown. Do you understand this? Do you understand the grace, the favor of God that is evident in this realm? That we are seeing things now that's unprecedented, ladies and gentlemen. You and I have entered into this time of the most amazing move of God ever on the earth. It's not coming. It's not going to happen. It is here now. This is the greatest hour of revival. This is the greatest hour in human history. This is the greatest hour of harvest. It is happening now. And we get to be a part of it. Wow. In Amos 9 and verse 13, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman will overtake the reaper. And the tread of the grapes, him that sows the seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. That is, everything heretofore barren and unfruitful shall be overflowing with spiritual blessing. Hallelujah. 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 That means barren places will spring up. Desert places shall spring up. God has called you to be an oasis in a dry and a thirsty land. It doesn't matter where you go, it'll spring up. They could take you and drop you anywhere on the earth and come back 3 years later and everything's thriving, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. If you believe it, the plowman will overtake the reaping. You'll have such a harvest that you won't be able to bring it all in before the next season starts. Ha, kapraka sombrovondo. You will have fruit left over from season to season. Somebody says, is this the current crop? No, no, that's from last season. We still have left over. Did I just preach myself happy here today? Your fruitful vineyards will cover the mountain everywhere you go. Leviticus 26 and verse 5, your threshing time shall reach to the vintage, and the vintage time shall reach to the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread, and you shall eat bread to the full and dwell in your land securely, which is what we believe in God for here in the United States of America. All this is for the glory of God and the extension and establishment of his kingdom. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6 and 7, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God shall give the increase. So don't walk around and look and say, well, you know, hey, they're reaping a bigger harvest than I am. Well, what are you called to do? Well, I'm called to sow right now. Then continue to sow, because there'll be some things that you will see this side of heaven. But can you imagine the harvest that you'll see on the other side? That God's no man's debtor. That he will never forget the labor of love that you have towards the saints. Any saints, any act of kindness and generosity towards God's people, God's going to bless you. He's going to take care of you. When this, I saw this couple that were members of the river back in 1997, and I paid for their honeymoon. And they said, you paid for my honeymoon. I didn't remember anything. Somebody said, do you remember? No, I don't have a book that says paid for their honeymoon. I don't. We just do it. It's just stuff that we do. We just do it. We don't keep a record of it. People remember. In actual fact, they can come to me and say, you paid for this, paid for that. I don't even remember what I paid for. I went to one couple, said, you blessed us for our 50th wedding anniversary. I said, I did. Yeah, you flew us and you took your. I said, wow. And now I think, I must have been drunk. It's amazing what you do under the influence. I didn't even remember their names. And said, yeah, you paid for us to go on our 50th wedding anniversary. I don't even remember their names. I recognize their faces. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, and he that watereth anything, but God giveth the increase.
Thank you, Lord.
Which everybody always tries to make out like, you know, the Lord couldn't do without them, which in a sense, I mean, he doesn't want to do without you, but there's nobody that's indispensable when it comes to the things of the kingdom of God. If you won't take your place, God will raise somebody else up in your place. He'd rather you do it. Are you with me? And the choice is yours. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few actually choose to obey what God's telling them to do, because they don't want to pay the price, and they allow circumstances of life to come against them, or they get bitter, angry, feel like somebody owes them something, somebody should have opened the door for me or whatever. This last week, I was about to preach, and a text comes through, Pastor Rodney, I'm going to these two countries. Do you have any church I can preach in? And I went, no, I'm not a booking agent. Suddenly, I'm a booking agent. Do you know how busy I am? So I'm going to book you. In actual fact, you're asking me to let you go preach, and I've never heard you preach. How am I going to call another country and say, hey, can you have this guy preach? Have you heard him preach? No, I haven't, but he kind of hangs around. Oh, well, thank you. Sorry for asking. What do you think I am, a booking agent? At least quit the ministry and book people. So whatever comes in, we'll take a tithe of that. I'd go bankrupt because nothing comes in for them. Hello. And when you heard them preach, you realize why nothing comes in. If you have an anointing, well, I'm really on it this morning, aren't I? But if you have an anointing, God will make a way for you anyway. The Lord will open. Why would you want to go? Do you know how many people there are on the planet? Do you realize there's 7.5 billion people on the planet? Do you know how many realize tens of thousands of churches? What if God takes you a different way? But then you get stuck in the group that somebody else opened for you. I'll never forget when we first arrived in America. I'll just say this, and then we close. When we first arrived in America, within a month, I was speaking in a large denomination in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Large group, hundreds of churches. I preached on a Sunday night. The fire of God hit the place. This was 1988, so we weren't in the revival, but the message I preached called Getting Ready for the Coming Move of God, the coming revival. But it was a great service. The altar was filled, people were touching them, but you know, it would take another year and 3 months for the revival to break out. And so the pastor presiding over the whole group, he came to me, he was so excited, he gave me the tape of it, said, this is a cassette tape of tonight. Here's the directory to all of our churches. We have 500 churches across America, and here's a letter from me recommending you to go preach. And I thought, this is it. I got it made in the shade. I mean, I fell with my bum in the butter, you know. It's just a saying, when you say you fell with your behind in the butter, it means you did good, you know what I mean? You don't use that saying here, do you? Anyway, it's just something from Africa. So I fell with my behind in the butter. You know, things are really going great here. I've got 500 churches. I've got a letter recommending me, and I've got the tape. I can make copies and send it out. And I was so excited. I was going to do it. The Lord said to me, do not send one letter. I said, Lord, the directory, the tape, the letter recommending me. This is my ticket. This is my ticket. He said, if you do that, you will get stuck in that group for the next 5 to 10 years. You will never do what I've called you to do. I'm going to take you another way. I took the directory and filed it and took the lid and filed it and took the tape and put it somewhere. And said, okay, I trust you. And I'm so grateful today. You know, I mean, I look even at that group of, they're dead. That whole denomination is dead. I would have been stuck in there with a bunch of religious coneheads trying to psychoanalyze what God did back in the 50s and the 40s and the 60s. And where would we have been? Nowhere. No, nowhere. Nowhere. Just let the Lord take you. Let God forge a new path for you. That's what we do here at RBI. We put into you the necessary equipment that you can go anywhere. We were up now in Washington State. We got a graduate. Where's she from? She's from Africa. I can't remember what country. There's a graduate, an RBI graduate, hitting I don't know how many churches all up through the Northwest. We didn't even know. She showed up at the meeting, and the pastors were coming and said, oh, she's training us in souls. And they gave me a whole brochure with all the churches she's at training people. It's an RBI graduate. Seth right here. She's up there kicking butt and taking names up in the Northwest. Yeah. And just smiling and happy and just going into places, winning souls, you know. We were shocked. You know, we thought maybe she's up there seeing someone. No, she's in every church. She's training everybody to win souls. And then the pastors were fighting over her because I had them in the back room. They said, now you come into our church next, aren't you? And she's going, yes. They want her. God's making a way for her. Say this after me.
I'll reap
where I did not sow. Because these are the days of the harvest. And my assignment is connected to eternity. And as I keep my focus on my assignment, I will be sustained, I will be provided for, and I will be fulfilled. Now lift your hands and thank Him for it. Thank Him for it. Thank Him for it. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, blessed Jesus. Thank you, blessed Jesus. Hallelujah. For even the next remaining months, for many, even in this place, and this whole next week of vision, there will be a recalibration that will take place on the inside of you. And I say this by the Spirit of God, that which was a distraction to you will be a distraction no more. That which has held you back shall hold you back no more. And it will come with clarity, and you'll be able to recognize, you'll be able to see that that's a distraction. And immediately, you will not be sucked in. Listen, it's going to pick up with frequency, because before you would go down the road thinking, maybe this is it over here, and then take 2-3 months that way. Then you would go down the road over here, maybe that's it over here, but you find it wasn't. And now you'll be able to spot it before it even happens. Nope, I'm not doing it, sorry. Somebody said, no, this is opportunity of a lifetime. Well, guess what? It's not my lifetime, because God has another plan for me. You will be... I just see it just coming so plain to you, coming out of this whole next week of Vision Conference. And you're not going to spin your wheels. And it's not going to be wasted years running down here, some rabbit trail here. And there's going to be a joy to what you do. There's going to be excitement to what you do. You're going to be refreshed. You're not going to be dragging your tail and walking along with a heavy burden and a heaviness. There's going to be excitement about what you do, because you're doing what God has called you to do, and you will be fulfilled in your heavenly assignment. So God's getting you ready. Can you say amen? Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Don't say I'm too old. Don't stop saying you're too old. You're not. You're just right. You're not too old. Say I'm not too old. Don't say I'm too young. You're just the right age right now to do what God's called you to do. Can you say amen? Praise God. I want you to bow your heads across this room here today. Hallelujah. While the heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to just give an invitation here today. If you fit in any one of these three categories, because everything starts with the heart. It all comes into line when the heart is made right. Sitting here today, different categories of individuals, and I want to give a call. Maybe you came here today and you've never given your life to the Lord. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus. You've never said, Jesus, come and be my Lord and Savior. Friend, I want to ask you a question. What would happen if today was your last day on the earth? If you went home tonight and put your head on your pillow, and in the middle of the night you breathed out your last breath, where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to a devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all the guilty stain. Today, the power of sin will be broken. The power of guilt and shame will be removed from your life. You might have come in here one way, but you'll leave another way. Today, He calls you. Today, Jesus stands with arms wide open and he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Will you surrender to him and say, Lord, here I am. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. Secondly, maybe you come in this place, you gave your life to the Lord, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. You've allowed the things of the world to come in. You've lost that first love, that joy, that passion that you once had. But today you say, I'm coming back. I'm going to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Maybe you got distracted, just like I was preaching about. But today, you're coming back. Today, he calls you. Will you surrender to him? Maybe it's something hidden that no one can see. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, the hidden things that clog the heart of man that's held you back. Today, you'll go free. Today, he said, I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He said, I'll put a new spirit in you. It's really about surrender, to surrender every area. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's something outward that everyone could see and the enemy's used it against you to keep you in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of things that have happened 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, whatever. And especially when other people know about it, because they'll bring it to your remembrance and the enemy will remind you as he always does, and you feel like, well, what's the use? But God's a God of a new beginning. God is a God that will restore to you. Even wasted years, he'll restore the years that the locusts have eaten, the caterpillar, the canker worm, and the palmer worm. This is not the hour to be lukewarm. This is the hour to be radical. This is the hour to be on fire for God. There's an urgency in our spirit. There's an urgency like never before to run. To run with the fire of God, to carry it to the nation of the earth, to bring in this great harvest. Jesus is coming very, very soon. Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we described. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life. You were going along. You were doing great. I meet pastors of large churches. They said, man, I was doing phenomenal. This thing hit me like a Mack truck from hell, out of the blue. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. Acts 3:19 says, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of the heat, of reviving with fresh air will come from the presence of the Lord. Today shall be your day of refreshing and your day of reviving if you will surrender. And then lastly, if you're in this place, you love the Lord, that's not even a question. But you have a constant battle between your head and your heart where the devil's lying to you, telling you that you're not saved. But today you say, I want to know. I don't want any more doubt. I want to know with all assurance I'm a child of God. If this is you and you fit into any one of these categories, I want to pray with you and for you. Right where you are, quickly, put your hand up and say, pray for me. I need Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Keep your hand up. God bless you. 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 God bless you over here. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you under the overhang. God bless you all the way to the back. There, there. Yes, yes, yes. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you over here. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you right at the back. God bless you over here. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Slip it up high. God bless you over here. God bless you over there. God bless you over there. Quickly, raise up high and say, yes, that's me. God bless you over here. God bless you over there. God bless you over there. God bless you. God bless you at the back. Raise up high and say, yes, I surrender. Now, once you've raised it, you can put it down. You can put it down. I want you to look at me right now. Please look at me. In this section here, if you didn't raise your hand, but you want to be included in the prayer, we're going to pray. Quickly, put your hand up and say, include me. Put your hand up and say, include me. Anybody else? Right at the back, another hand. I've seen your hand already. This section here, you didn't raise your hand, but want to be included, put your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Another hand over there. Anybody else? Put up high and say, yes, that's me. God bless you. Right over there. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Is he raising his hand or are you raising it for him? Okay, good. Just check it. Anybody else? God bless you. Yes, yes. Okay, we're going to pray. I want every person that raised your hand to stand. Stand to your feet. All across the building. Stand. 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 Everyone that raised your hand. Everyone that raised your hand, stand to your feet right now. We're going to pray. I want you to come. If you're by yourself, bring your personal belongings and come to the altar. We're going to pray together. Come. 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 You make the decision. You make the decision. I'm following him. I'm following him today. You make the decision. He calls you. He calls you. He calls you. He calls you. He's calling you now. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Oh, hallelujah. You're following Jesus. It's picking up your cross and following. It might be rejection. Families have been disowned. Parents have disowned their children because they followed Jesus. People have been left out of inheritances. This is all. This could cost you everything. Everything. In the natural. But you receive everything eternally. So he said, why do you say that? Because people realize, do you know that people that are being killed around the world right now in religious persecution is beyond anything. More people are being murdered and put to death because of Jesus than ever, just because the real population is so big. More than the martyrs of 2,000 years ago, it's happening today. People are dying. If we don't have a great awakening in America, the day will come where it will be illegal to preach the gospel. We could be in a service like this and we all get arrested. Somebody said, that'll never happen. Trust me, if the crazies in Congress right now get their way, it will be that way. You mark that down. And of course, then I'm going to have a showdown. Because I ain't. I'm going quietly into oblivion, just so you know. Amen. Hallelujah. But there's people, our brothers and sisters that are suffering in parts of the Middle East, in parts of, in China right now. China's really increased the persecution on the church. Because we were going to go into China and they just said that I was the profile, Pastor, you can't. It'll put the churches in jeopardy. For me, I'm not worried. For me, I don't really care. I've lived a good life. The Lord's been good to me. Amen. But I don't want to jeopardize other people. Which that's important. In 1994, Bishop Jakes came to our service. That night, the angel sang. He was sitting on the front row. He only had 500 people in his church in West Virginia. Nobody knew who he was. We talked afterwards. He said, I'd like you to join me. We'll travel across America. We'll do like an ebony and ivory thing. And you know what I said to him? I had just hit the front cover of Charisma magazine. I said, Bishop, if I do that, they're going to target you. They hate me right now. People have put my poster up playing darts. Pastors are shooting darts into my poster. And I said, I will be a lead weight around you and it'll hinder you. I said, run free. And he looked at me, he didn't understand that because everybody's looking for an opportunity. Hey, I can get with this person. I'm not stupid to understand that I can end up being a liability to somebody. I saw him 5 years later. You know what he said to me? Where's he going? He's just taking off now? Bring him a chair. Bring him a chair and put him down over here. He wants a chair. Just bring him a chair. I got to be an usher here. I'm in the wrong job. Bring him at the altar. I'm in the wrong job. I really should be. Today, I just will officially become an usher. So I saw Bishop 5 years later. He said, I didn't understand what you were doing, but he said, thank you so much. He said, I had 5 years, I was free. Nobody attacked me, nobody did anything. He said, now they're killing me. So he had 5 years freedom, and I would have been a noose around his neck because they hated my guts because of joy. So we are hated because of joy. Google me, joy? Okay, we're not working with you. Here we're coming to get people saved. I was a recipient of fake news before anybody even knew what fake news was. You're not praying over those beads, are you? Sam. Huh? Sam. You don't need to. Let him come off the cross and come into your heart today, and you'll never need to pray over another bead. Amen. I want everybody here to look at me right now. We're going to pray a prayer. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. I want you to close your eyes and raise your right hand to heaven and say this out loud. Believe it in your heart. Say this after me. Say, Father, I come to you. In the precious name of your Son Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart Put in a heart of flesh.
Wash me.
Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me.
Use me.
Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world.
I turn my back on sin.
And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now just lift both hands and just begin to thank him right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your spirit, that on that day not one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation, we pray. I break every curse of witchcraft. We send it back to where it came from. And that this is a new beginning and a new day for them in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. From this moment, you are free. You are forgiven. You are free.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.